Closet Cosplay, the podcast where we help you create con-worthy cosplays on a closet budget. I'm LJ.
And I'm Michelle. And today we have a discussion topic that we have kind of, sort of, nailed down. Not really. Let's just call it fashion and cosplay, or just a general cosplay discussion and fashion discussion and looks.
Because sometimes when you're at a con, you will see people cosplaying in particular different fashion genres or subcultures or vintage eras, and they're not always necessarily going from a particular show. They're still very present in the community.
Yeah, like, so it's not particularly any specific character or from any specific thing, like, for example, you know, Ariel from The Little Mermaid, but it might be someone with, like, red pinup curls and a floofy dress who's dressing vintage, and I love that.
Yeah.
I'm a huge fan of just different styles that aren't necessarily specific characters.
Yeah. One of the ones that I think of off the top of my head and led me down this for topic is one of the things that I was first introduced to in terms of, like, dressing up, because even when I was in high school, we're talking, like, circa 2000, 2001, because I am old, there wasn't really a ton.
Whatever.
Yeah. There wasn't really a ton of, like, there were cons, don't get me wrong, but there were certainly weren't any local cons. But one of the things that we did have access to through places like Hot Topic and some things like that, which weren't the best things in the world, were some pieces that could be used to dress yourself up like you were doing Gothic Lolita, which Gothic Lolita is still something you see to this day and is a huge fashion subculture and something that you're going to see at a con. If you're not familiar with Gothic Lolita or Lolita kind of style, you would probably know it immediately if you saw it, because it's very, very recognizable. A lot of people say that they look like little porcelain dolls or baby dolls because it's typically hyper feminine. It's usually lots of pinks. Well, okay, so this is where you can get split into, like, well, there's kawaii or sweet Lolita and gothic Lolita, and, like, there's all these different kinds. But basically the idea is usually, like, it's like typically knee length, you know, bell kind of shaped dress skirts or dresses that, like, have a lot of lace and frills. And one of the trends that I've seen in the past several years are, like, these patterns, these larger patterns that look like carousel horses or cats or bats or things like that. But the idea is it's almost like a Victorian inspired look, like in a very reimagined way. Like it's very cute for the most part. Even the Gothic Lolita stuff, which tends to be less of your pinks and more of your blacks. And it's going to be, you know, you have the little headpiece with the lace on it and you wear the platform shoes and stuff like that. So while there's not typically, like, there are certain characters that dress this way. One of my favorite mangas called Under the Glass Moon, there's a character that dresses constantly in Gothic Lolita costuming, and looks very much looked off of Malice Mizer, old KA band from that I was super into. And I can tell Michelle is like zoning out on this right now. she's like I don't know anything about this stuff.
So unfamiliar with Lolita fashion in general. Like you said though, I know it when I see it.
Yeah,
I can like point it out to you. It is obvious to me now, like especially with going to cons and just kind of being in like that scene, I'm like, oh, that's Lolita, okay, cool. But I don't really like know much about the history of it or like where it originated or anything like that.
Like, yeah. Like, I'm not an expert on the Lolita fashion trends by any stretch. I know some people who really are. I watch a couple mm-hmm. of YouTubers, especially that they make their own stuff or they, you know, are just very into the culture. One of the things that I became aware of through, and I can't remember her name all of a sudden. I feel awful that I can't think of her name. But one of the
We'll add it.
But I can't, one of the things that I thought interesting that she discussed, and it was something that I never really thought of, especially because, like, you know, we see a costume that we like, right, and we try to recreate it. And we don't think anything about, you know, the items that we've purchased or where they're coming from or if it's a certain brand or whatever. But there is actually quite a bit of what I don't know if it's really considered like etiquette in the Lolita fashion community that you would never try to replicate something from another brand. So,
So like, very like original is what you're saying?
Well, like if a brand is putting out a particular style of purse, you should not, from what my understanding, and I could be wrong, if people feel free to correct me, but I remember seeing a big drama thread about it a while back, that you should not, as a person, be trying to recreate that brand, like it's trademark or copyright infringement or whatever. So whereas we tend to deal with a lot of like, make your own, do your own interpretation. And there's certainly people who out there who make their own Lolita stuff. That's not an it. That's not the issue. It's when you're trying to copy somebody else's design.
You know what? Speaking of copying somebody's design, I remember watching a YouTube video of a woman who does like period pieces, right? Like these very detailed, like well sewn, like well structured, like, you know, like we were talking about these like 1910s gowns.
I think I know who you're talking about. She bought like,
you may have seen that. She bought like, yes, we'll add her name too. I got to find her video. But she basically like bought this like cheap manufacturer's version of her dress, like copied version of her dress. And I remember her like just dissecting it, being like, okay, look at this seam. Look at this. Look at this. Look at these two dresses next to each other. You know, it just crazy.
She does a lot of really
they
good
took work. Her picture. That's the crazy thing to me. And Amazon, like a lot of places, this is why you have to be careful with your online shopping. They had like on their website with the price, like the picture of her actual dress. But then it shows up and it is not that. And so that's something we should touch on. A lot of times some of these, like, you know, it depends on who it is. We'll use one picture. And that's why we say reviews are so important. Photo reviews are so important, because they could have one picture on the front page and be like, oh, that's really gorgeous. And that's a really cheap price. And then you like scroll down and somebody's got a photo and it's like, this is not the item I received.
That's incredible.
And that happens a lot.
Yeah, it's incredibly common, especially with stuff. People will take pictures that they got off of Etsy, and they will do the cheap knockoff version of that. Here's a couple of ways that you can kind of spot this, and this will be off on a little tangent, but this is more of my Amazon tips. My Amazon tips. That
Amazon tips with LJ.
That's where it's half this show, is just how to shop on Amazon.
Yeah.
So one of the things,
and how to do it well.
How to do it and how to do it well. So one of the big tells for me when I that's immediately like, oh, this, I'm not going to get the item that they're showing, is they use they cut off the person's head in the picture. If they cut off the person's head in the picture, that's not what you're going to get. That person has not modeled that outfit. It's completely different. One of the other things that you can see, like I will go through, and I've done this before just to prove it to myself, because a lot of people would suggest Wish to me. Like, they're like, oh, you can get stuff on Wish. And every time I went on Wish and I looked at something like, oh, look at this, it's super marked off, I would reverse Google search that image of that item, and I would find it on Etsy for either like way less, or like, clearly this person who does bespoke clothing is not selling this item on Wish. Like, this is not what you're going to get. So I've never ordered from Wish. Maybe people have had good experiences, but for me personally, like, if you are not sure about an item, use reverse Google search for image. Google has a function, if you're not aware, where you can your link directly with the picture, right click on the picture on a site, and there'll be an option for reverse image Google search, or upload a image to the search for Google, and it will look for it, and it will pull back any similar or matching items. And so a lot of times you can find if they're kind of like scamming off of it. One of the other Amazon things I'll say is that's a big trigger or a big red flag for me is if instead of the person wearing multiple different colors of the item, if it is just quickly photoshopped to a different color.
I have noticed that. And you know, you click to the colors and it just looks like they just kind of painted over it and it's not actually on the person. I'm
like
okay.
Just an overlay layer. Yeah, it's real
I'm
bad.
Like, that's pretty obvious, people. Like, you could do a better job at least.
So, you know, I would be careful with that, with anything that you're getting, and especially like the Lolita community, from what I understand, just kind of to tie this back to the community, the Lolita community is, like I said, I've seen a number of drama threads where somebody is wearing a knockoff version of it, or they've tried to create their own version of it, and branding and Lolita brands in the Lolita community is a big deal. Like, everybody knows their brands, they know where they're coming from. And so, like, when you kind of impede or you don't have that sort of respect for the community, you may get some backlash. So if you are interested in doing cosplay in the Lolita fashion community, don't be afraid. Like, don't, they're usually very, very open. I would just be careful about, you know, really specifically trying to avoid knockoff versions. And it is tempting, because if you ever go, Michelle, have you ever looked to see how much Lolita clothing costs?
Oh, girl. Okay, so I don't really, like, look for Lolita fashion myself, but I remember a friend searching some Lolita stuff, and, like, they wanted to do it right, and I just remember, like, visiting a couple different pages that they gave me, and I am looking over some of the prices of it, and I'm like, ooh, that's steep, you know? And I told myself right then, I was like, you don't need to get into this, because this is a money sink. Like,
it is,
and it's all very beautiful, and I'm very impressed by it, and I love to, like, scroll and look at it all, and I was very, very impressed by, like, the workmanship of it, and I was just like, man, that must take a ton of time, a ton of work, but that is gonna be, like, because you know how I am, LJ. It's like, when I get into something and when I like something, I am, like, all in. So I knew, it's like, if I get into this and I love it, like, we're done. Like, money is out the window.
It's a money thing. And that is why I say, like, it is tempting to try to go buy knockoffs. But unfortunately, like, and I think that there are certain, and, you know, there are cons specifically for Lolita fashion. Like, that is a thing.
There's a con for everything now. That's really so cool. That there's so fans of different things that you can always find, like, other people that love the thing you love. And I just love that.
Yeah, it's great. But, like, it's great that, like, there's a lot of overlap. So, like, you'll see Lolita's. I haven't been to a where I haven't seen it, and I'm a huge fan. Like, I was into Lolita fashion when I was in high school, like I said, and it was not accessible at that time at all. I did the best that I could. It's real bad, but I did what I could. But I still love it to this day. In fact, I actually own one of the ways that I've been exposed to various Japanese fashion subcultures, which is one of my, like, personal just interests. I love to read about that stuff. I have a book that's called Fruits, and it's literally just somebody went out and they would take pictures in, I think it was Akihabara or Harajuku, one of those places where it's like, that is where you go. That is where you go for fashion subculture. And it was just fascinating. Like, people, there's so many different kinds. And especially because this is like a snapshot of, like, early 2000s, you get to see stuff that you don't really see anymore. And I would love to see people bring back some of these just as cosplays. Like, there was this one that I remember, even I did a report on this in high school. This is how, like, into this nonsense that I was. I was really
nothing is nonsense if you love it.
That's
nothing
true.
Is nonsense if
that's
you love
true.
It.
I
love it.
I just thought it was very interesting to see, like, because we are not nearly as interesting in American fashion subculture as, like, a lot of other countries are. Like, the one that I did was on, it was called, like, Gunguro Girls. And, like, their whole thing was, like, Valley Girl on high extreme. So, like, they would get super deep tans, like, straight up brown, orange, like, looking tans. And then they would, like, do white makeup, white lips, white eyeliner, like, everything. And then they would have really huge blonde hair, and then they would, like, have all of these, like, stars and jelly, and it was just like, it was like a walking Barbie doll. And it was so cool because it was just like, oh my gosh, like, it would take these girls, you know, hours to get dressed. And, like, I didn't want to dress like that. I found it fascinating that people would. And it's like, that's only one. There are hundreds of different subcultures like that. Like, there was one where it's like the whole thing of it was you would just dress yourself up with different little toys that you got out of, like, gumball machines and stuff. And, like, that was the thing. It's like Fairy K or something like that. And it was really interesting. So, like, if you see somebody at a con and you can't quite place them as a character, but they have like this really elaborate costume, like you should ask them what, like, not only who are you cosplaying, if they don't have an answer, like they might come at you with, oh, I'm doing fairy QA, or I'm doing visual QA, or I'm doing something like that. And just like, you'd be interested in just playing around with one of those fashion subgenres. That's at least from the Japanese side, which is the one I'm most associated with. But there's a ton that we're actually going to probably start seeing here in the future that's more American based.
Well, and I just think like the cool things about cons in general, and like, I don't know, you call them like what, subgenres of things,
subcultures,
those kind of things. Like, I think another cool aspect of cons, which I don't even know if this ties directly to fashion, but that I love, is that, you know, you walk into a con and it's so different than your real life that you can wear like all these things that you wouldn't normally wear to like your job, for example, or like, you know, just out normally. Yeah. Like, for example, LJ and I both said if I could wear a cloak in real life, I would just do it every day.
Every day.
We just need to normalize wearing cloaks. I just
bring them back.
Yes, I actually bring it back.
My coat that I have this year for the winter is like, it comes down past the middle part of my calf, and it's just like a long wool like trench coat basically. And I was like, this is as close cape as I'm gonna get.
That's as close as you get. And so it's like,
I'm gonna wear it.
This is a thing that we wanted to touch on, is like, and this is a good segue, but okay, yeah, you want to wear a cloak in real life, yet you have to be business casual because, you know, we have a day jobs.
Quote,
you know?
Real jobs, yeah.
Quote, day jobs or whatever. So it's like you want to get that kind of like fun aspect into your business casual, right? So it's like you take a wool pea coat, but you're like, it's as close to a cloak as I can get though, because if I wear a cloak, I'd be in a cloak, you know. And
yeah,
like it's kind of the idea of like Disney bounding almost, but you can do it outside of Disney, where I was telling you that the witch off of Bad Omens, one day I was wearing like a leather skirt and like a frilly shirt, and I had my like circle glasses on, and I was like, oh, I look just like her when I passed a mirror, although I did it on accident. I just love that, like, even with this whole business casual aspect, or like, oh, I have to look professional, like, you can pull pieces of cosplay. Like, you can pull pieces of Lolita with, like, a ruffle or, like, a Peter Pan collar or a bow, you know.
Yeah, you,
like,
can have
pull pieces of who you are in your business casual. And I think that's so fun. Like, if you love a certain character, like, wear their colors. Wear,
yeah,
a little,
I love
that, like, is a piece of them, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. I absolutely love when people do low-key cosplay at like work and stuff. It's, yes, so good. I love, especially like during Halloween, and you have a company that says no Halloween costumes, so you pick like Pam,
you get around
from
it,
the office.
Yes.
So
yes,
it's like, you're not really,
I'm not breaking the rules, but
I'm wearing everything in, you know, like it's really fun to kind of push those weights. And like, I don't know, like personally, like I said,
it gets people creative.
It does. And I, like I said, I was really into Lolita, and there's stuff that even is in my closet now that like I picked it because it reminds me of Lolita stuff. Like I have this one,
yeah,
like sheer white blouse that ties into a little Peter Pan collar, and it has like these little like black hearts, but if you're like looking at it, the hearts are actually like bleeding. So, and then it's got like the little black bow that comes down. It looks just like a normal person's shirt, but like if you're looking close enough and you're paying attention, it definitely gives off some gothic Lolita vibes. And like, I really like that shirt, but, and it makes me feel good. Like, maybe not everybody notices it, but that's fine. And that's one thing I always try to remind people, it's fine to wear things for yourself. And a lot of
fashion
people don't
can
get
be
that
for you.
Yeah,
you can have your own fashion sense, and you can mix it up and match it up. And like, one thing I love to do, it's like, instead of going like super obvious with cosplay at work, like I love when I can find a piece that I can wear to work and I can make it work for a cosplay. Like that is, yeah, like gold mine for me. If I can like use it multiple times in multiple ways, like recently I've been using Amazon Personal Shopper, which I would recommend. They're actually pretty great.
We promise we don't work for Amazon.
Like, we don't. We rep them a lot, but we don't work for them. But if Amazon wants to sponsor us, we'll take it.
Yeah, exactly.
But they recently sent me like a white long sleeve top, but it had like these bubble sleeves almost. They like are just, I don't know what you call those things. They're just bigger sleeves. Yeah. But I thought to myself, I bought like this blue jumper off of Amazon for my Rainbow Bright cosplay. that I haven't done yet. And I thought, oh, that shirt would be perfect underneath that. So double use. I was happy.
Y'all, she's been looking pretty cute. I'll say, like, I'll be like, oh, Michelle, you look really cute today. And she's like, thanks, Amazon shopper. And I'm just like, dang.
That Amazon shopper's on point. She can pick them. She's good.
It's like, yeah, okay, so, you know, and that's what's, it is a little bit off topic, but sometimes it's fun to have somebody else get those for you.
That is so true. Things like Stitch Fix and this Amazon personal shopper, if you didn't know, they offer this service. It's only like $2 a month, but you do have to pay for the clothes, of course. But all these like clothing services like kind of freaked me out because I was like, there's no way they're going to like pin my style. Like, because I have such a random style, like I'll like certain things, but then you give me something that's reminiscent of that. And I'm like, no, but I don't like that. Like there's a detail, you know, and it's very hard. Yeah. However, what I find interesting about Amazon, at least, and I don't know if Stitch Fix and all the other ones do this too, is that they give you this like love it or leave it kind of game to play. And they'll just give you outfits and they'll be like, is this in your closet? Do you have something like this in your closet? Do you love this? Would you wear this? And so you just look at different things and answer. And it's so funny because sometimes they try to catch me and they're like, do you like this pair of jeans? And I'll say no. And then 5 pictures later, they'll be like, do you like the same pair of jeans? And I'll be like, yes. And I'm like, wait. Hold on. That's the same pair of jeans.
That's a very common tactic.
They try to catch you. Like, it's very interesting because they're like, oh, well, maybe after you looked at these 4 things, you'll like that. You know
what I
mean?
Because now you see it in your head.
Yeah. Like, oh, okay. That'll fit. And it's so interesting. And what has been really cool about that, actually, is that they have given me options that I would have never thought I would like. So if you like don't have a sense of style, or if you kind of want to refresh your wardrobe, even if you don't end up buying anything necessarily, it has been very interesting to me to see the picks, just to see what they choose. When I say I want business casual wear, to see what options they give me that I'm like, I would never wear that. And then I try it on and I think, oh, that looks good though. Okay. Yeah.
Because
a lot of times people don't leave their comfort zone as far as fashion and style is concerned. They don't try new things.
I honestly think that was especially me when I was younger. I was very much like, I didn't want to look like, which I don't think this is a word that proliferates throughout the common teenagers these days, but I didn't want to look like a prep. I didn't want to look like a preppy girl, which was like,
I tried to fit in and look like a prep. And then I realized I was like, that is not who I am.
I did not want to be a prep. I wanted to be like, I was really into the goth stuff. I was really into like being serious. And so for me, it was very much like, well, I don't want to do anything that is like, made me look like everybody else. And so for a long time, I avoided like anything that I could mentally misconstrue as being preppy. I got over that as I was able to like, especially because like, I don't know, I was in an all girls cat school. So the fashion was screwed up to be, because we had to wear uniforms. Percent of the day.
Yeah.
But like on my own, and I wasn't around the same people as I was, that I felt like I kind of had to like maintain an image and that I could try to expand and experiment. Like, it's fun. And like, it's having somebody help you pick out clothes or pick out clothes for you, it kind of in my head took that it took the weight away from me. Well, I'm not choosing the clothes. Somebody else is choosing the clothes. So, you know, I can like them or not. It's not a big deal, you know. But so, you know, I feel like my tastes are pretty eclectic, and I feel like most people are these days. And I think a lot more people are becoming more open to the idea of trying different things. And that's great.
Yeah, I think it's so interesting because sometimes like jumping outside of what you're used to is fun, right? Like, and to tie it back in, like, that's part of the reason we love cosplay, right? It's just to try something that we haven't tried, to you know, play a character that we haven't played, to figure out like, oh, well, this character wears like this crazy long ball gown. Oh my gosh, I love crazy long ball gowns now.
I never knew I loved crazy long ball gowns
until you tried it. And that's one thing that I love about cosplay, is that it allows you to like find these pieces that you would never think like, oh, I'd never wear that in like real life. You know what I mean?
Well,
but
now you
I love it.
Try it.
Yeah. Now I have an excuse to try it. And hey, maybe I do love that thing. And I'm going to, you know, put that into my fashion. And so it just builds on who you are and allows you to kind of find your own fashion sense from like what you enjoy.
That's really interesting because you would think that that would come from cosplay, but it really does help in a way. It frees you from the expectation that that has to be representative of you because you're just playing a character. But from that, you can take pieces that you like. And a lot of people do this with books. A lot of people do this when they act. They take pieces of personalities that they like. They like take pieces of costumes. They like take mental things because we are very much a product of our environment. And the more things that we open ourselves up to experience, you might be surprised by what you like. And I think that's a really important thing, not only for growth as a person, but, you know, making a splash on a cosplay.
Yeah. I mean, I just think it all ties together so well. I think fashion and cosplay go together, you know, more than is like in your face obvious. But when you think about it, like they impact each other.
Yeah, and with somebody say that, and it reminded me, you know, one of the main things that people do nowadays, or at least in the past few years, is like that kind of like highlighting and contouring and stuff like that, right? Like it's very, you know, the eyebrows, and it's all very, from what I've read about it, a lot of that originated in the drag community, which I find really interesting. And it's like that very, you know, tailored eyebrow and the high cheekbones and the gloss, like all of that came from this sort of performative hyper femininity of trying to, you know, highlight things on a woman's face. And a lot of that came from the drag community. And I'm like, see, like we get things from this.
Like, and I think it's so interesting because it's like, who knows down the road what's going to, you know, be coming from the cosplay community to like our culture, like how it's going to permeate culture and going to affect how we dress and how business casual looks and how street looks, you know, change and, you know, move into something else. Like, it's just going to be interesting. Like, it's so interesting to really see history and where these trends come from and why, you know, things are popular. Like, I think I was telling you before we started recording how if you walk into H&M now, like, you see, he's inspired. Yeah, that's like a windsuit from when I was in second grade. Oh, sorry.
What was from second grade?
You'll walk into H&M and find a windsuit from like when that you wore in second grade, and you're like, wait a second, that's from like when I was a kid, and now it's popular.
It's so strange.
So I find that really interesting.
One of my favorite indie sort of like fashion designers, I can't think of her name, but her company is called a fashion brand company. That's literally what her company is called. But like most of her outfits are based off of old like toddler pageant outfits, which are very, it's very funny to me, but like the wedding dress or the quote wedding dress that I used for our marriage certificate, so because we obviously couldn't have a wedding in the pandemic. I actually got that from her, and like it's very much like it, I'm like, this is 90s Barbie's chic, and I just freaking loved it. And so I just I love internet culture right now, and I love cosplay culture right now, because you get a lot of this like Venn diagram, like inspiration from all these various things, and it's great. And like I am really interested to see, and it's funny that you even say like I'm interested to see what cosplay influences, because I would argue that you might actually already be seeing that in a fashion subculture called streetwear. Streetwear, I love streetwear. I follow a lot of streetwear subreddits, and it has a lot of different influence and stuff like that. But there's a particular like subgenre of streetwear that's like very reminiscent of like cyberpunk, even Final Fantasy to a certain level, the blacks with belts and like necessary.
You're breaking up, LJ.
Oh,
just
I am.
A little bit. Yeah, repeat what you just said.
You must be having a weird. I was saying that that there's a lot of like there's a subgenre within the subgenre that is like very, in my opinion, seems like it's been influenced by a lot of like stuff like Advent Children with like a lot of the blacks and a lot of the belts and unnecessary bags and things like that. And I think that you will start to see more and more of an overlap with fashion and cosplay, and I'll be interested to see where all that goes as well.
Yeah, it's cool looking forward, you know, to see like what's going to happen in the future, because you know we've already seen like certain things just permeate culture and become popular and you know just change how things look, and then you've got the nostalgia aspect of like, now the 90s are kind of coming back. And like, I remember when bell bottom jeans like came back, everybody was like, well, this is from the 70s. Like, this isn't new, you know, and everything. And so I think it's cool how you have like these nostalgia type items that come back and become popular again. And you're like, we kind of think it's weird, but then like people a little younger than us are like all about it, know?
It's funny.
Because they weren't there.
Yeah. Well, so it's interesting. It's funny to me too, how much like anime and manga and cosplay and stuff like that was such a niche thing, especially like I had to get stuff from friends who would get stuff from Japan back in the day. Like it wasn't a widespread thing at first. Like it gradually caught on as I neared my later years in high school. But it is wild to me to see like Gucci making clothing with anime on it. Like,
yeah.
Like what?
Yeah. It makes you like my mind. Really think, like, wow, look how far it's come. Yeah. You know, when you think about it, man, it's amazing.
It's really interesting. And so that, like, you know, I see a lot more girls and like models and stuff like that get into cosplay, and like they may not necessarily be like into the culture at first, but they recognize the aesthetic appeal.
Yeah.
And yeah. I think that that is a really important aspect in bringing that sort of stuff to the mainstream and influencing even like just fashion genre. Like I honestly think I can see aspects of anime fashion and Lolita fashion and stuff in things that I never would have seen 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And I love that because like for me, you know, I was told as a kid, this is just a phase. Like nobody's going to remember this in 5 to 10 years.
Yeah. And now look at it. You're like,
more and more popular. It only gets more popular. So I love seeing how slowly, like we're starting to see influences of anime, manga, and cosplay culture, like overlap with what we consider mainstream American culture. And I look forward to it personally. Bring it on.
Yeah. And even outside of fashion, like one thing I find interesting is that like, you know, this whole idea of like geekiness and nerdiness, like becoming like a beloved feature and like a cool thing. Like that wasn't always the case either. Like people that played D&D in their basements were like, what? You do what? Like LARP was like this idea of like, what is that? Those are what the weirdos do or whatever. And now it's like a thing where it's just like, no, that's awesome. Like that's really neat. Let's do that thing, you know?
Yeah.
And so you just see like how culture has kind of switched and changed. Like I just know like Critical Role, for example, like all these D&D podcasts we have where like, you know, not too far distant past, like that was like, oh my gosh, are those people like worshiping Satan? Like it was so misunderstood. And now it's like so mainstream. It's just kind of crazy. It's like a lot of people I talk to, they're like, oh, I've played D&D at least once in my life. You know, it's just like a normal thing. It's not this like, what are they doing? You know, like it's completely misunderstood. So I think it's so interesting how like what in a span of a relatively short time, like
something
just changed so much.
I feel in my opinion, for as many negative things as can be happening in our world in any given time, I feel like we're honestly living in one of the golden ages of geekiness. So much.
Golden ages of what?
Geekiness.
Oh, geekiness.
Or nerdiness or whatever you want to call it. And the thing about it is,
yeah.
I love that. Like, I love that I can go practically to any streaming service and find an anime or just a sci-fi or anything that could be misconstrued at some point as being nerdy. I love that I can go into a store and find a shirt with my favorite manga on it. Like, I love that I have that sort of accessibility. And it's great. It wasn't like that. Like, that's the thing, is a lot of younger people, you know, Gen Z and stuff like that, they grew up in it
with that
like, for me, with it, like I had to find like the one VHS at the local video store, not even the Blockbuster, that just the guy happened to get stuff in from Japan. Like that was where I was. But you know, we're lucky and it's great and I love it. And I hope it keeps going.
Yes, absolutely. Like, gosh, this has been a fun episode. It's just it just feels so so nostalgic and like just fun to talk about this kind of stuff, because it's interesting. It's interesting to think about, and it's cool to see like how far we've come in a sense.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, if you guys have any particular other fashion cosplay stuff that you're interested to see, like, you know, I know that there's going to be vintage stuff out there too. We've got a ton of movies and different TV shows that have to deal with. Gosh, I don't want to get on another subject, but what's the Bridgerton? Is that what it's called? Like, it's like a Regency. It's like a Regency era fanfic, basically. They don't use like any of the fabrics that you would normally do use during Regency era, but like they go ham with it, and it works because it's just like apparently it's not a period drama, it's a period fan fiction. Like, that's really what it is. So, but nice. Like, you'll see a ton of that stuff. We do have a couple cosplays in the pipeline that we will be discussing, but we kind of wanted to, for our first episode of the new year, we kind of wanted to have a little bit of nostalgia, I guess.
Have a talk. We just wanted to have a chat. Have a chat with you guys.
After Christmas and holidays and stuff, like, we were both just drugged to the bone, so we needed to chat.
We needed a good chat, guys. Yeah. But our new schedule for episodes is going to be every other Thursday. So look for new episodes every other Thursday. And we still have our suggestion form going. We have all of our links on our link tree on our Facebook. You can just search Closet Cosplay Podcast to find us, pretty easy. But we've had fun talking and chit-chatting. And if you want to reach us, also our email is in the link tree, so you can email us anytime.
Definitely.
For chits and chats and all that good stuff.
Chits, chats, and everything in betwixt.
All right, guys. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.